UK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Tom Foti in Washington. Originally driven by winds from a recent Pacific hurricane, wildfires rage across a famous and popular part of the island of Maui in Hawaii. They're blamed for at least six deaths, dozens of injuries, hundreds of destroyed structures.
Maui's main airport was sheltering about 2,000 travelers whose flights were canceled or who recently arrived on the island.
It's just scary to see a big wildfire just kind of coming your way.
Hospitals treated patients for burns and smoke inhalation, while some residents lost vital communication when cell phone services went down.
CBS's McKenna Maduli in Honolulu. There's word from the Veterans Administration that it is giving veterans who might have been exposed to toxic burn pits several more days to apply for retroactive health benefits. This under the so-called PACT Act. Instead of last night, the new deadline is now next Monday. Good news for many, including retired Army Staff Sergeant Dan Nevins.
I lost both legs as a result of my service. I lived with a traumatic brain injury. And in those moments, you know, I'd never even considered all long-term ramifications from toxic exposure. It wasn't even on my radar.
Robbie Robertson wrote and performed classic rock for the legendary band called The Band.
They created a sound that seemed to draw on every aspect of American roots music at the same time as sounding like something that was entirely fresh.
Rolling Stone contributor Anthony DeCurtis, Robbie Robertson has died in Los Angeles. He was 80 years old. Some people behind San Francisco's steel bars are suing the city over the right to sunlight. KCBS's Matt Bigler.
The inmates at the San Francisco County Jail claim that denial of sunlight amounts to cruel and unusual punishment, and that lack of vitamin D has been linked to chronic illnesses. The inmates are demanding that jails end isolation practices and allow more out of cell time.
In South America, an anti-corruption presidential candidate has been shot and killed at a political rally in Ecuador.
It happened in Quito, which is the capital, which despite having an increase in crime is not seen as somewhere that has seen the dramatic escalation that some of the port cities have seen in Ecuador. Still, this was an outspoken presidential candidate. 11 days to a presidential election.
CBS's Christian Benavides, who is a native of Ecuador. In Haiti, kidnappers have freed an American nurse and her daughter. This some 2 weeks after they were kidnapped near the capital of Port-au-Prince. Asian financial markets closing mixed. This is CBS News.
Hire with minimal effort and max speed with Indeed. Their hiring solution platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break. So we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize, too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood. Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' hot Cheetos? Chicken on a stick? Deep-fried old-fashioned? Or pino pretzel popper brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long. Close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the pino pretzel popper brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Oconomowoc. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raised the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
You know him as the nose tackle for the green and gold. 1993 to 1999, and again 2001 to 2003. 125 games, 292 tackles, 7 sacks, and a Super Bowl ring. But there's more to life than stats, and there's more to life than football. You're about to find out. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Is that word?
Innovative.
Innovative?
Innovative. Whatever. You can say it both ways.
I think it's indicates.
Indicative? Is that the word you were looking
that
for?
That is a good word, Kristen Bright.
A friend wouldn't make fun of somebody like for knowing a word. See, this is what I'm talking about, people. Kristen Bright does not believe in friendship.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Hello, Wisconsin. Welcome to the second hour, the 11 o'clock hour of As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jay Matinair is on the board. And Greg Bach has something to say.
Okay, I would like to bring up something. This has been chapping my hide for weeks now. That intro with the three of us, who, by the way, I adore the three of us. We should have a TV show.
Got it.
You screw up what word? You can't say what word again?
Indicative? No.
Indicative is mine.
She can't say indicative. You can't say another word. I say a word that's a word.
And it's I'm just an alternate pronunciation.
And I somehow get thrown into the mishmash of you two who can't speak. I'm upset.
That sounds like a dream. You have to take that up with the producer.
You should probably address the producer with those concerns.
I'm addressing the producer and the host. So deal with that what you will. And also, a shout out to Texter in the, I believe, 608. Yeah, I don't care how good you think the Cubs are. They still suck. No, that was actually like, Brian Kelly.
Fancy Brian texted you because he is a Cubs fan.
Did you say Fancy Brian?
That's his nickname.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, he's fancy.
Wasn't he saying what the Brewers are doing?
No, he said the Cubs. He said the Cubs are the hottest team in baseball and have the most runs since the All-Star break, and they are at the top three in every offensive category since then as well. And I said, sounds like someone holding on to 2016 while in second place. Because I didn't know the Cubs were in second place. See, that's the problem with this division. I'm sorry, we won't get into this now. We got other things to talk about. I could just talk about this division for hours.
I bet Brian could too.
We're going to go to a Cubs game.
Give you guys an hour of time.
We'll do a live show from a Cubs game. Oh, I'm liking this.
Are you ready to move on?
No, but we have to.
Okay. All right. So my question to you is, how do you feel about popular video games teaching your kids about history or science? Is this a good thing? Is it only a good thing if you agree with what they're including? I don't know how I think I feel good about this as someone who very much embraces edutainment, infotainment, the ability to meet people where they're at, which is why I like using humor when we talk about politics, which is why I know videos versus reading. Like, people learn in different ways. People consume information in different ways. But Fortnite, heard of it?
Oh yeah, I know 12-year-olds.
I think there's more than just 12. This is like a wildly popular game.
Between Fortnite and Minecraft, I feel like you start at Minecraft and then you graduate to Fortnite.
Is that how it's
it feels like? I just feel like every kid I know who's like 6 years old playing Minecraft, one day I'm like, oh, you like Minecraft? Like, I don't like Minecraft. I'm going to play Fortnite.
I've moved beyond it. Yeah.
So I don't know. I really don't know the premise of these games. I just know that they exist. I know that they're wildly popular. But Epic Games, which is the company that owns Fortnite, just approved a virtual Holocaust museum for Fortnite.
Okay.
So it's going to be something that you can engage with as you're in Fortnite. And, you know, this is probably something that you don't think of when, because this is, according to this article from Morning Brew, you know, this is a game where you can, like, play as Optimus Prime. You can, like, do a TikTok dance. Like, there's a bunch of goofy stuff that you can do. And so I think it's, like, a little odd that they, you know, that you were like, oh, they can also tour a Holocaust museum inside of Fortnite now. But the digital gallery's designer, who also created the educational Holocaust game, The Light in the Darkness, tweeted that this museum, existing separately from Fortnite's main play, will be game-changing for Holocaust awareness. Fortnite has about 239 million active monthly users.
Wow.
And 80% of Americans have never visited the Holocaust Museum.
Have you ever visited it?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
When I was young.
Okay. That's
cool. It was awful. I mean, it was a beautifully done museum,
yeah.
But it is gut-wrenching.
Yeah.
Fortnite players who visit the Voices of the Forgotten Museum, which is what it's called, can walk through exhibits resembling those found at in-person Holocaust museums, minus photos of dead bodies and concentration camps, which would violate the game's age rating. They cannot use weapons, break anything, or dance. Epic learned its lesson after players kept doing the floss and the robot at a 2021 in-game event celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. And so I guess they're not the first to do this either. Roblox and Minecraft, two other very popular games, were used for educational purposes, like teaching students during the pandemic. And I guess reporters have also used Minecraft to make a library of censored journalism available in restricted countries.
Minecraft is one of the most amazing. I wish I had the bandwidth to play that game. I go to Indiana every year, and I see my family, and my niece is I don't know about this year, but last year she was a Minecraft fiend, and she's like, you want to see my house that I built? I'm like, of course I do. So we're sitting there, she's showing me the house. I'm like, cool, you built it? She goes, yeah, I built 12 of them. And these aren't just like a box with a roof. There are libraries in there, swimming pools, elevators. Like, it is
how's it different than The Sims?
It's not. It just looks different. It's okay. Just for a different generation. But it's an amazing thing that just engages their creativity. And I am all about this. I love this.
You love this.
Kudos to Fortnite. I think it's fantastic.
I also think it's great because I also am in the camp of, oh, we should be teaching the Holocaust. And the fact that I think it was in, when was this? Like 2020, there was a survey that found a shocking lack of Holocaust knowledge among millennials and Gen Z. And it same goes with knowledge about slavery. Like there are things that I am very much in favor of being taught. And this is one of them. And so in this specific instance, I'm like, this is great. Good on Fortnite.
Yeah.
But how would I feel if it was something I didn't agree with and it was available to the, you know, 289 million active users?
What is something you wouldn't agree with?
Bible study in this game? Okay. But I guess it's a private game, so they can do what they want. So exactly. I think that's why I'm tussling with it, because it's like, I think I'm celebrating this, but also, I don't know.
Well, I mean, what's to stop them from having a special room to go in to celebrate neo-Nazis?
Better example.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is I guess it would be the natural policing of either the marketplace or the people playing or that kind of thing. I mean, once again, I think if you had Nazi propaganda on your game, I think it would violate your age restriction.
Probably.
I mean, they'd have to do it in a very sneaky way, which is what our government does now to begin with. But the point is, for me, I think it's great because, you know, kids are playing these games now when they're very young and being taught lessons in their video games on their iPads, but then eventually they grow up and out of those games and they move on to the different games, and not sound old manny, but like lose educational value. So them putting them in there, this in here, to a game that everyone loves, and they have the option of doing it, I think that's great. That's a $289.
The Last of Us not have educational value?
I wouldn't know. I don't play video games. If we're talking to Super Mario Brothers didn't have anything about, you know, the
I learned a lot from Donkey Kong.
That's for a whole other show. But I think this is great. I just want to know then the next step of, like, who is going to be like, how dare you talk about the Holocaust?
And if there's backlash from it?
Absolutely.
Like, go woke, go broke.
Yeah. Scott Walker, you listening? You idiot.
Sorry. Does that fall under wokeness now? Teaching the Holocaust? Is that where we're at?
Yes,
certainly
in Florida. Anything that threatens whiteness is woke. Anything that threatens your privilege as a white person is woke. You go woke, you go broke. I mean, they're so tiny. They're so fragile. They're like I can't listen to anything about anything that's not me, so it's woke. You don't know what woke means. I'm talking to you, Scott Walker. He tweeted this weekend something stupid about
We glanced on it.
Anything that threatens your whiteness, your privilege, your gender superiority in the society, your patriotism, it's all woke because you can't just hear a little bit of truth or at the most
a different perspective.
Not even pay attention. Scott, you don't watch soccer.
I know.
So what do you care?
You weren't waking up at 2 a.m. to watch the women's soccer tournament?
Well, when's the last time you drank a Bud Light? You don't. So shut up. Let kids learn. I'm sorry. I've totally made Scott Walker the enemy of this story.
But what about the... I mean, going back to this whole, you know, the U.S. women's team losing... What about when the men lost when Trump was in office?
But the thing was, is that it started from the beginning with the whole national anthem thing where they wouldn't stand for the national anthem.
Well, it wasn't even the whole team. It was. I mean, a lot of this has to do with Megan Rapinoe.
Yeah, but...
And she's in the... I guess, I don't think of her as controversial, but she's controversial. There's people who don't like her because there's things that she's done, things that she's said.
I think she's very controversial in the fact she threatens everything that people get fragile about, which is like, you know, she's a gay soccer player who's saying, like, I'm going to talk about what I want to talk about. Mm-hmm. But since then, like, when the Post wrote that article, everyone's like, I can't watch women's soccer. You didn't watch it in the first place, okay? Don't act like your team just let you. This is not football. This is not watching one of your favorite players take a knee. Okay, it's soccer. It's women's soccer. You can't name more than one player. And if you can, you're going to mispronounce the name. So, yeah, I want to see. This is the part of me that loves just punching the bear. I want to see all the angry people come out because they're going to show their faces. And like, well, why don't you want kids to learn about the Holocaust? I mean, they've made it so it's watchable by kids. It's an important event that happened. We can't change it.
Yeah.
Or do you think it didn't happen? I'm not going to name names, but that's the thing is, the people who are against this are going to do it in the name of kids shouldn't be learning this stuff. I'm the parent. I should be teaching them.
Which
then good. Teach them. You're not going to because you know nothing about it.
Yeah. I did not know this is going to rile you up as much as it has.
It's all on hypotheticals too.
Because that was, I mean, I'm sure there will be some. I haven't seen any yet. But is it harder? Yeah, probably. Because I feel like it's harder to come out and angrily be like, these games shouldn't be teaching about the Holocaust versus how righteous and entitled parents feel like books shouldn't be talking about gender and sex. Because we're just like a prude country. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. What do you think? Should games be taken upon themselves to be teaching history and teaching your kids, especially games that are this popular and not necessarily known for being educational? 844-967-2789. We'll take a break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Did you know the Wisconsin State Fair is 172 years old? It still celebrates the industries important to our state's history, like agriculture. But every year, new attractions and items are added. This year, there's more than 100 new foods to try. So what do you think topped the culinary list last year? Flamin' Hot Cheetos Chicken on a Stick? Deep-fried Old Fashioned? Or Pino Pretzel Popper Brat? The answer's coming up. The Wisconsin State Fair didn't start in its current home of West. West Allis. The first was in Janesville along the Rock River, then moved to different locations the next 40 years. The original cream puff has been around almost as long, close to 400,000 are gobbled up every year. So which food was number one last year? It was the Pino Pretzel Popper Brat. It came out on top. The State Fair is a true slice of Wisconsin, and it runs through August 13th. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Wisconsin's manner of funding local government is nearly singular in the country. That cheese stands alone, if you will. It hasn't been working in Milwaukee. It hasn't been working in Rhinelander. It hasn't been working in La Crosse, Green Bay, Madison, Kenosha, Racine. I don't care what you pick. It ain't working.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Lows dip down to about 60 overnight under partly cloudy skies. Winds out of the west around 5 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 82. Tomorrow, mainly sunny skies. Mainly cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Lows around 62. Mid-80s Friday and Saturday with a chance for scattered thunderstorms Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Hero, Greg, did you ever play that game?
I hated that game. I hated that game.
For anyone who's not watching the live stream, which
you're missing out.
We always welcome you to watch
Pete Greg,
the As Goes Wisconsin live stream on YouTube and Facebook, and also on YouTube we edit it down so you don't have to watch the whole thing. We try to put timestamps in there so you can always go back and watch it along with, you know, instead of listening to the podcast, because when you do the live stream, you can also see the antics that you can't always hear.
The faces, the face palms.
I am a pretty expressive person, so you get to see some of the faces. I think Jane is a pretty... None of us are necessarily good at poker faces.
No.
And what you just missed is Greg being very excited about that song and a very good air guitar.
I'm a good guitarist. That's what I am.
Okay.
Not an air guitarist.
Now, you were playing an air guitar.
Understood.
You were not actually playing just now.
You win this round.
It's kind of indisputable.
Yeah. If you put a guitar in my hand, it would work in either way.
I don't think I've ever heard you play the guitar.
Most people haven't. I don't play a lot of guitar for people anymore.
Is it just something you do at home?
Something I do at home. I got my guitars at home. I play at home. I got some really nice ones. Trust me, this will take 3 segments. You don't want to ask me more.
Okay. We'll cut it out. In the last segment, we were talking about the decision for Fortnite, the very, very popular, I guess, kids game.
289 million.
Yeah, so not just kids, but that they, outside of their main play, but they have created a virtual Holocaust museum for, and I think I do in this specific instance, think that's great. Because as they, there was a study that showed that 80% of Americans have not gone to a Holocaust museum. There's also studies that show, in general, millennials and Gen Z don't know a lot about the Holocaust because we're not necessarily doing a great job teaching it. And so I think, on the one hand, kudos to Fortnite, which has no obligation whatsoever as being just a form of entertainment, to take it upon themselves to teach history.
Mm-hmm.
But is it a slippery slope? That is the question.
What's the slope? Is that what you're talking about in the previous segment?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like, because there's, like you said, there's a chance that they get backlash from this. Go, you know, they're going woke. So, I mean, I don't know. Because again, I think there is a finer edge to walk. There's still a, as much as there's a rise of white supremacism, as much as there is a rise of anti-Semitism, I still think the general consensus is the Holocaust happened.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. Please, God, let it be the case people think that.
And so I think, I just wonder how much of there would be an appetite that, or like, consideration of, well, maybe they shouldn't be talking about the Holocaust versus other topics.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, they'll be able to find out through their numbers how many people actually visited it.
That's true.
I mean, at the end, you know, and there will be a significant, there will be, I mean, in 289 million people, someone's going to be upset. And you can choose to go to it. You can choose not to go to it. The fact that it's there, it's wonderful, I think, if it's an educational tool. And hopefully, I mean, I hope that adults who play the game are like, I want to check it out to learn more. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's just going to be teaching something that happened and that's going to give important information to people. And maybe they'll read a book or watch a documentary. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a positive thing. And as far as the slippery slope of, like, what could they put in there, I don't know. I mean, like... I don't think, you mentioned, like, what if they put something about neo-Nazis? I don't think it would go there, because I think if they're putting something about the Holocaust, they're definitely not going to do that. But Say they want to put in an American history museum, and it's an American history that we've been taught our entire lives. So we're like, well, this isn't true. How about a real American history museum? You know what I mean? Yeah. I can see that. But I think if you are starting there with this topic, I think, personally, and maybe I'm thinking too much of them because I don't know them, if they do other things such as this, they're going to say, like, oh, this is a center where you're going to learn about the actual history of indigenous people in various countries, mm-hmm. or some other topic that.
I was just, as you were talking about that, I was like, I wonder how much more backlash there would be if this was a museum about slavery versus the Holocaust.
Well, that's, you know,
because that didn't happen in our country. But, and granted, this is a game that's played worldwide, so I don't want to say this is just super, you know, centric in America.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking as far as how different the reaction would be depending on what the focus of a virtual museum was.
Oh, absolutely. I think if it was about the slave trade, I think people would lose their mind. And Ron DeSantis, I guarantee you, and I'm not being, this goes along with the idea of with TikTok. He'd say, well, I want to get it banned in Florida. I want to make it so that people can't play the game in Florida. I mean, that would just be the next step, because he is an anti-woke justice warrior.
You know that they're now trying to censor parts of Shakespeare?
I saw that, too.
Because Romeo and Juliet's too raunchy.
Well, it does get pretty horny, baby.
All right, we got to wrap this up, because we have a very fun guest in the next segment that I'm so excited to talk about. Taylor K. Phillips is a Midwestern lady from Missouri. She just wrote a book about a conversation starter with Midwesterners. I'm so excited to talk to her. She's also a writer for Last Week Tonight. Nice. So I'm so excited to talk to her about that. So stick around. We're going to have a super fun conversation for the end of the show. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. At least a half a dozen people have died in raging wildfires on the Hawaiian island of Maui. Senator Mazie Hirono a short time ago.
One of the first calls I got was from Secretary Mayorkas of Homeland Security, who assured me that they stand ready to do whatever they can to provide support.
Some veterans of recent wars have several more days to apply for retroactive VA health benefits under the so-called PACT Act.
Toxic exposure from burn pits, commonly used on bases overseas during the War on Terror. A practice now linked to more than 20 illnesses and cancers.
Correspondent Natalie Brand says the new deadline to apply for retroactive health benefits for those veterans next Monday. A musical obituary of note. Robbie Robertson of the band, performer and songwriter. Robbie Robertson has died. He was 80. CBS News Brief, I'm Tom Foti.
A perfect day starts with perfect breakfast. Start your day with Brunch It Up. Our experts are serving up the ultimate brunch experience. Our menu is loaded with inventive dishes from chicken and waffles to cinnamon roll pancakes. Try unique cocktails like Brunch Bloody Mary with house-infused vodka. Come brunch it up over bottomless mimosas or a midday pick-me-up. Or with the whole family for an unforgettable Sunday brunch. Brunch It Up in Milwaukee, Brookfield, or Cedarburg from 7 to 3 on weekdays and 8 to 3 on weekends. Let's brunch it up.
Hi. We're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here!
Whoa! That was fast!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
It was only our third date, so timing was not great. But he brought me a cute dog card. It said, life's less rough with you. We shared a bottle of Sancerre and some lively conversation before he walked me home.
And then we had sex and everybody knows it will save you.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. Jane Matanera is on the board. Greg Bach is here. And our guest in studio is comedian and writer Taylor K. Phillips. And you laughed as soon as that song. Jane, what did you find that was a deep cut for Taylor?
Yes, I did. You got to hunt around a little bit, but I found it.
So what is it, Taylor?
That is an EP that I recorded with my friend Dylan Marcarell, who is an incredible composer. Over COVID, it sustained me. We wrote this comedic love songs EP, but the woman singing that part, because it's a trio that ends up doing it, is Kim Ona, who is a woman I went to college with, who, it's a very long story, but all this to say, she made her Broadway debut in a musical called Anne Juliet with 2 hours notice as Juliet. And it's, I mean, it's like one of the most incredible stories ever. And it's so nice. It's like, that's my friend Kim who sang on my EP, which is bananas. Like, we're like, will you do this? We're doing a three. And I'm glad you played her instead of me, because she is like literally a Broadway singer and I love to sing. And you can tell in my voice that I love to sing. But
the
passion that's so fun.
Is there. The talent. Yeah. Is
so that's Kim. She was on Broadway yesterday. She went on as Lady Capulet in the matinee of Anne Juliet on Broadway. So
that is so funny. Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I heard of you because of your new book, A Guide to Midwestern Conversations, But then as I found out more about you, you kind of have not currently, but in normal times, not outside of the strike, you write for Last Week Tonight. You are a comedian. You are a writer. You have written for basically all of the different comedic McSweeneys and all of the things. And you also have this book out, but you're also from the Midwest. So you're not from Wisconsin, though. You are from Missouri.
I am from Missouri. I'm from Kansas City. I have my Kansas City Heart shirt on. I know that we're on the radio, but I have a Kansas City Heart shirt on. But I'm acquiring a Wisconsin or Milwaukee shirt tonight before
Perfect.
My book event.
We have a lot of those.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, we have a lot of really good merch for the state. Yeah. So let's just start with how the journey from the Midwest to being a writer on one of the most popular political satire shows out there.
It's, you know, the thing that I think is the most frustrating but also sometimes validating is literally everybody's story and journey to wherever they go in the world of television and film is so, so different. Mine is I grew up in Kansas City, same house, 18 years, moved to the East Coast for college, came back to Kansas City to do some like fringe festival sketch comedy stuff, and then moved to New York to do the thing. But in order to do the thing, I needed to have money to pay rent, to eat food
it's
while I did
works,
the thing.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
And so I worked in advertising
okay.
for a very long time, and I was doing tutoring and copywriting and all of that. And at the same time, taking improv classes and doing stand-up.
What was your go-to? Pitt? UCB?
UCB.
All right.
Oh, I was a UCB baby. Yeah, yeah. I have, in fact, I'm officiating my friend's wedding this on Friday. I met her 3 days into moving to New York.
Oh, wow.
And we became best friends. And she would have been the most important person I met at UCB, except for the other one I am married to.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
it's close.
There's different categories. It's fine.
It's true. It's true. It's it, and you know what? It's I mean, I and everything with UCB. Like the it really set
still
the stage for everything.
Defunct? Did they survive?
No, they reformed, didn't they?
They reformed since
they reformed.
COVID?
I don't know a lot about what's going on with them now. Okay. I think they're hiring teachers now and getting the theater back up and
reforming
so,
some of the issues that
Yes, and
came
yes.
to light.
Reforming situations. Maybe distributing the PPP loan that appears to maybe have only gone to like the finance guy. I have no idea what happened.
Okay, so I was
Taylor's spilling
baby.
The tea right now.
This is a little inside. But I should let you know because we didn't talk about. No. I lived in New York. I was more of a Pitt person.
Okay.
And so that whole community, like, and I know when everything was blowing up with UCB and stuff like that. So that's why most of our Wisconsin listeners are probably like, what language are they speaking right now?
It's United Citizens Brigade.
Yes.
Right?
And Upright Citizens Brigade. This was started by Amy Poehler. And yes. So like, it was at least what the Second City is to Chicago
yes.
and Groundlings is to LA. UCB was to New York. Do you think that's a fair way to put it?
Yeah, I think that's a totally fair way to put it. It's the training ground. It's the building community. It's the... You know, when I was quote unquote coming up, there's like that was where you got your comedic footing, where you got stage time. In fact, the Pit was better at giving stage time than UCB.
Yeah.
The Pit, you could just we did so much shows. It was like you go and you do shows. And that's, I think, the wonderful thing about New York is there's opportunities to go and like do shows and put stuff up. I was a UCB baby. And then through friends at UCB, through like work in the online satire community, you build your community and you get what are called packets,
yeah.
which is basically
yeah.
the. You know, the late night way of saying we're hiring. Here's what you have to do to get hired. And after, you know, 22, 23 of those, I did a Last Week Tonight one and it made the cut.
And
fantastic.
I feel like part of everything I've done, like Last Week Tonight, Daily Show, like that is what has inspired me to do what I do here. Right. I don't have a writing team, so I don't know if it says, but Last Week Tonight specifically. Writing jokes, because that show goes so deep on research.
Yeah.
And then it is punctuated with like dick jokes. And it's like, it really is the tone and the balance that it strikes. So were you always into politics and political comedy writing, or was it something that like, how did that part come to it?
That's such an interesting question. I was always into, I think I had always considered myself a writer that was funny,
okay,
more than a joke writer.
Interesting.
And part of this is also probably context. My husband is, Felipe Toro Medina, is like one of the best joke writers I know.
Okay.
And it's just so
and
clean.
And he writes for
Colbert.
Yeah.
Which is a, you know, tight joke show.
Yes.
Set a punchline.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. And having the research base that we have at Last Week Tonight, I think that to me, that's a better fit because I'm kind of annoying in that I, you know, you see a headline and I'm like, well, that's a little bit misleading. Like, I feel like I want to know
a little bit more deeper about it.
And so with Last Week Tonight, we get to be a little bit, it's like slightly more excruciating and a little bit more, well, actually about what we're actually making jokes about. And because we use a little bit more footage, we can point out things that are like, well, let's tell you what you just saw politically. But also, did you see that thing behind that guy? That's wild. What's that doing there?
And so you feel like it was like a perfect fit. Like the way that show is structured is very different than other political comedy shows. And for your type of writing, it's why it's such a good fit.
When I was 23 in a class at UCB, we had to we wrote our final project for a late night writing class was to write a script in a style that we thought we could write. And I was like, the only one for me is
interesting.
John Oliver. And I did a lot of other packets. You can tell. It's like I did a lot of other packets that were fine, but not up to par. And like this was the fit for my voice.
I used to do a show here in the city, a live late night show called the Badger Times Journal Report, which was, and I told people outright, I said, I am taking from John Stewart and I'm taking from John Oliver.
Yeah.
And it would be correspondence, deep dives on topics, real guests, like political, like we had David Crowley on before he was the county executive.
Wow.
So like those two shows. And for me now, John Oliver has such a deep sense of being for me, that writing, that message. And the fact is, when you watch him, he barely breaks. He just keeps going.
Oh my gosh.
He pushes through where a lot of the comedians can, you know, there's a laughter and they'll say something about the laughter. He's like, nope, we're just going to keep going.
Right.
I got 30 minutes. And
well,
I
don't have time.
Yeah.
We're talking to comedian and writer Taylor K. Phillips. And we will talk about your book, I promise, because that's why you're here, A Guide to Midwestern Conversation. But how many times does he practice before he does a live show? Because it truly is a 30-minute, I barely breathe monologue.
He's got it, you know? And it, I mean, it varies. And a lot of it that we don't see.
Yeah.
A lot of it we just go to taping. And I'm not totally sure, but he is, I mean, he's a pro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that is, like, that is what he does. And it's amazing that, you know, he goes through and we write the show together and he's so involved. And then he goes out and does it.
And then
Which is something cool in the late night space is like, you know, he works so hard.
That's one of the only shows that is just him instead of there's guests, there's correspondence, there is something that breaks up the half hour.
Yeah.
Versus for that show, it's just you're on.
No.
And there's a live audience and we're going.
And sometimes it feels like we didn't get enough time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's like, oh, there's.
And then you have to do the Chuck E. Cheese special. So did you write on the Chuck E. Cheese special?
So we can't say for legal reasons what we work on or whatever.
Okay.
But I can say that that I really enjoyed watching that and felt a lot of affection for it and was very impressed by the work done in a way that as a Midwesterner, maybe I wouldn't.
I could not shut up about that piece. Yeah.
We talked about it on the show because like, this is amazing. So what we should say, though, is right now, you are not currently working.
I am not.
You are still, once the strike is over, that will be your job. But right now, you're not. So how is the strike going, Taylor?
It blows.
Yeah.
But it is also kind of awesome.
Okay.
Because no one... It's in context, right? On this side of the threshold, which is we have to be on strike, there's no option, right? There is no alternative to this. We made our requests to the studios. They are eminently reasonable. And not only have they like, there are some that they declined. There are some that they, you know, came back and negotiated. And there are a lot that they just refused to negotiate with us about. So there's just no debate about whether or not this is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But the idea of agreement among thousands and thousands of writers, a 98% vote in favor of the strike, the idea that SAG now has said, you know, even a higher percentage of their membership, which is much bigger than ours, yeah, also said this situation is untenable. It's the most unified group I've literally ever been a part of. And so to be on picket lines with those people, you know, discussing what is going on in our industry, like on social media and whatever, with those people, it feels really good because it feels like we're going to win. Like, I don't have any real doubt.
Oh, that's interesting.
About where this is going, because I really feel like the studios still don't understand who they're messing with, and the army that they have created.
They literally can't do it without you guys.
Could you tell them that? They don't seem to totally get that.
I can't remember. I think it was the chief executive officer of ABC when he came out and said, well, we have a strike-proof season. I said, you just showed how much you don't care by saying, meh, we'll go ahead and just put on reality shows and whatnot. Nothing against reality shows. But like, when he said that, I'm like, oh, well, you obviously think this is nothing to you. This is nothing to you.
Right. And it's, you know, way up at the top, it feels like those people don't care about making TV. But there are a lot of executives, a lot of suits who got into this business for a reason. To make TV.
Yeah.
And to make movies and to you know, as much as you're like, you know, to tell stories. and it makes people a lot of money. People love to go see it. You know, not to be a broken record, but like, did we all see how many people showed up at the movies?
Well, I think about The Last of Us. I think about these like cultural moments of that even without the same kind of consolidation of everyone watching the same thing, because there's so many different streaming services, there's so many different ways to absorb content, but there's still things that we all get on board with and want to talk about together. Yeah. And a lot of that is really good writing and really good acting.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. That's their product. That is the only thing a lot of these people make.
Mm-hmm.
And we make it. And so
we only have a minute left for this segment.
Okay.
And I want to talk about your book.
Tell me.
So when we come back, we'll talk about the other thing that you're doing right now, since you're not writing for the show, and what inspired it, where people can get it, and like all of those Midwestern roots that you tapped into for the book. So our guest is comedian and writer Taylor K. Phillips. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and we'll be back in just a minute.
And bathrobes too. We ate oysters in our bed. Topped it off with some dark chocolate. What a lovely night alone. During which we had sex, and everybody knows that it would actually be weirder if it didn't go that way. The night ended in intercourse, a special hotel kind. The whole point of this day night was for us to bone.
After 4 years of marriage and 6 years together, we decided just to spend a nice night at home.
But we didn't have sex because we ate too many nachos. It was in our plans initially, but then we got full. We didn't feel the pressure since we still have sex like all the time. We ate our chips and cheese and then we fell asleep.
It's so hot. Wait. Now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on, along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Donald J. Trump has now been indicted for a third time. The purpose of the conspiracy was to overturn the legitimate results of the 2020 presidential election by using knowingly false claims of election fraud. The defendant enlisted co-conspirators to assist him in his criminal efforts. Jim Troupas, Ron Johnson, they're coming for you. Giuliani, Sidney Powell, Jeffrey Clark, yeah, you as well.
Weeknights at 6 p.m.
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly clear today with a high of 82. Northwest winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. 62 tonight, mainly cloudy skies. Scattered thunderstorms likely tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 84. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Dry with temperatures near average Saturday and Sunday, and highs from the low 80s to the mid 80s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 63 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. We got Jane Matinair on the board. Greg Bach is here. And we are talking to comedian and writer Taylor K. Phillips. And let's talk about your book, A Guide to Midwestern Conversation. What is it?
Well, it is a love letter in 140, I don't remember the page number, illustrated pages. It started as a McSweeney's piece.
Okay.
And it is just the, at the beginning, like at its nascence, it is things that we say in the Midwest and like what we mean when we say them. It's
like,
not,
no, yeah, yeah, no.
Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, no. Or like,
let me just get around you real quick. It's,
yeah. Exactly.
Let's switch right by.
And like,
do you guys say open Missouri?
There is, it's like we don't realize that we do it.
Yeah.
And so many people over the course of like the book or talking to have come up and being like, I didn't realize that I did it.
Or realize that this is a regional thing that I do.
Exactly.
That other people don't do this.
And you probably had a similar experience where it's like, you don't realize that until you move away
mm-hmm.
and people start pointing out things about you that you're, the kind of reaction is like, what do you mean? Like, yeah, everybody
like
does
you
that.
Say the word bag and bagel.
Yes, bagel.
But it's also funny how quickly it comes back when you move back.
Immediately. even just like a slight twang. And for me, it's not even Kansas City. It's that my dad's from the south of Missouri. So like, even just talking to him, it'll just go a little bit, like just a little bit, like not much, but like,
yeah,
it'll get up there.
I went to New York once with a bunch of people and we were talking and my friend's friend who I didn't know, he goes, I can tell you're from the Midwest. I said, why? He goes, you look people in the eyes and you smile a lot. And I'm like, I don't know if that's a compliment.
It's wild. I went to a Starbucks on Park Avenue and I said, good morning, how's it going? And the man looked terrified. He was frightened. He was like, is this a new type of stick up? Like,
and was that a culture shock when you left Missouri to go to school out east? Was that like a huge difference culturally?
It wasn't. The culture shock was more people expecting me to have a culture shock.
Okay.
It was like we would all, you know, be lined up in the freshman room talking about where we were from. And it would be, I'm from Boston. I'm from New York. I'm from Connecticut. I'm from Florida. I'm from California. I'm from Vietnam. And I'd say, I'm from Missouri. And people would go, oh, that's so far.
Or where is that?
Like, just mentally.
Did they let you in on a special deal or something?
Just like, what is that? And one time, like, the dean of freshmen was like, hello, welcome. And I was like, hi. He was like, where are you from? Where are you joining us from? I was like, oh, I'm from Missouri. The man talked slower. He said,
no.
How are you liking it here? And I was like, well, there aren't near as many cows. Like, what the heck do you think I'm about to do? That was the culture shock.
It really is true. In 2023, in a world of massive ability to get information, people from the coasts still think we are barefoot cow farmers. Like, literally, people I've met who are like, I didn't realize that places in Wisconsin all had running water or, like, indoor toilets. I wish that was a joke. It's true.
It is true.
It's amazing. And they're not embarrassed by it.
Well, especially because Kansas City is I think Kansas City is bigger than Milwaukee. How many people live
there? We Googled that on the way here.
So it's like, because it's a big city.
It's a big city. We got the World Cup. We had the draft. We've got Mahomes.
You got your own song in Oklahoma.
We got our own song and I'm seven stories high.
You got a baseball team that I don't want to talk about.
There.
Nobody needs to talk about
it. So what was the motivation? Like, was it just because you're like, once the McSweeney's article did well, where you're like, I think this could be a book?
I wish that I could say that, but really it was a bunch of other people saying, this did really well, you should make it a book. And me saying, I don't know, for like 3.5 years.
Procrastination.
And when I say people, I mean...
Midwestern.
Exactly. I was like, oh, I don't think so. Oh, I think that's a little too much. You know, that's... Oh, dear.
Midwesterners, we don't... And I say this with loving heart, born and raised in Wisconsin. We do not think on those levels of like, there's abject failure and complete success. We love to hover in the middle and like, this is good.
Right.
Let's not push it. Let's just stay kind and humble. We got what we got. We can pay our bills.
And don't let it go to your head.
Don't let it go to your head.
Don't talk about your success.
Do not forget your raisin. All right?
Exactly. Well, that's in one of the initial piece, one of the Midwestern things is like, look at you, you big city girl.
Yeah.
Which means you think you're better than me?
Oh, we're like, so good at that.
Well, look at you in the big city. How is it up there? Is it safe? You know? Now I'm stuck between.
Which is also funny because then there's layers to that. Because I'm sure from being, I would imagine, because this is the same dynamic, a similar dynamic in Wisconsin is there's Madison and there's Milwaukee and then there's the rest of Wisconsin. And there's feelings about that. I would imagine it's similar in Missouri as far as there is more rural Missouri and then there's Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, I'm from the big city.
And so you're already from the big city and now you really live in the big city. And so like the layers removed of even the people who are in the big city of Kansas City are thinking like, oh, she's in New York.
She's in
now.
New York.
And she works in television. Right. Oh.
Ooh, hoo, hoo. Like just, you know, and you know, they charge you extra for French fries on the side of your burger there, which is true. And it's redonkulous. But it's now I am caught between. It's like in New York, I'm like this kind of sweet, nice, nobody's met anyone nicer kind of pushover. And in the Midwest, everyone's like, is she for real? This is a cutthroat witch.
Really?
Like not always, but they're kind of like, oh, wow, you're like really.
You're direct.
You know, you're direct.
You're very direct now.
Oh, wow.
And how much do you feel like since leaving, in your heart of hearts, where do you feel like the balance is of like, you can take the girl out of the Midwest versus you can't take the Midwest out of the girl?
I think I said to someone this morning, it's like, I'm a Kansas City girl with a New York address, which feels mostly true. But I think that I operate at a New York pace.
Okay.
I think I have like the Midwestern sort of understanding, a kind of lack of judgment, which is something I think that is very Midwestern, is like, I think that there's a feeling of what are the rules here? You know, and I will mostly adhere to them. Do we take off our shoes in this house?
Yeah.
You know, what, like, are we getting appetizers, dinner, dessert, or are we just eating, you know what I mean? Like, the kind of how your family does it, how my family does it, I'm curious about it, which I think that curiosity is not as pronounced on the coasts, and I think I try to still have that.
That's a really interesting observation that I would agree with.
Right? Like, it's something you don't think about until you go places and be like, oh, I feel really strongly about, like, the way my family does things. And it's like, what a weird thing to say. I would never
assume that we got it right.
Right. Yeah. It's just like, do we, you know, like my dad doesn't drink. He hasn't drank for 36 years. And like, we go to somebody's house and he brings his diet soda with him the first time. And then he'll always bring it with him just in case. But as soon as anybody's ever had my dad's like, oh, yeah, we got Diet Pepsi in the thing. Because Carrie's come, you know?
All right. Well, that went by so quickly. We have so much overlap in common. I'm excited to talk to you after the show.
Yes.
But Taylor K. Phillips, you can buy A Midwestern Conversation anywhere you can buy books. I will link it to today's show notes. I'll also link her social media if you want to follow her on X or
on X
things.
Or Instagram.
But it was so fun to have you in person.
It was so, so fun to see you guys. I am so grateful.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you to everyone who called into the show, texted into the show. We will be back tomorrow to do it all over again. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Oh,
For over a century, AM radio has evolved to meet the needs of our community. More than 80 million listeners depend on AM radio each month. It's also the backbone of the emergency alert system, keeping us safe in dangerous times. A new bill in Congress would ensure this free, reliable service remains in cars. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
We spend $500 on our infants and toddlers on average. If you go to the other countries, you're talking about $11,000 on average in Europe and the other developed countries. It makes a difference. They end up spending less on their K-12 system. They end up spending less on their colleges. They end up spending less on jail.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Weekday.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.